Though Trayvon Martin lived in Florida, his death has affected people all over the country. We'll go now to a place much closer to home, where a small group of people tries to make sure the dead are not forgotten, no matter what they suffered in their lives. Nearly every city in the U.S. has a neighborhood like San Francisco's Tenderloin. Ours is home to a dozen social service agencies, low-rent single-room occupancy hotels, or SROs, and the thousands of people who live in them. For many residents, life in the Tenderloin is marked by death, often premature death, from things like HIV/AIDS, heart disease, and drug overdoses.
I went to this hotel, and the social worker there was almost in tears, and she said, "Oh, it will just break my heart if no one comes," and no one came. It was the two of us, but we had a memorial for the person who had died.
For more than three decades, Reverend Glenda Hope has officiated memorials in the Tenderloin for people who might otherwise be forgotten. In 2004, she asked the neighborhood paper, the Central City Extra, to begin covering those memorials. And since then, the Extra's reporters have written more than 200 obituaries. This year, they were anthologized into a book called Death in the Tenderloin. The book includes obituaries and photos, as well as analysis, essays on the neighborhood's health conditions, poverty, and crime. It's all based on the meticulous work that the Extra's reporters have done. KALW's Laura Flynn accompanied Extra reporter Marjorie Beggs to the memorial of Randy Givens. The first voice you'll hear is Givens' neighbor, SRO resident Otto Duffy, followed by Beggs.
People get stuck. They get stuck in these units for the rest of their life. This is like the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never get out. Once you're in for life. However long that might be.
Randy Givens lived at the Ritz Hotel for two decades and had many visitors over the years, but according to social worker Heather Vaness, he didn't socialize much with fellow residents. That's why his memorial was so lightly attended by neighbors. Only Thanapa Simphanth and Otto Duffy showed up for his February 21 send-off.
I really miss him. And I think memorial is really important. And nobody came. And when I saw Otto, I said, "You don't have to go anywhere. You come here for a few minutes, please."
Yeah, it was really sad. Because Tanapa, my neighbor, came in and said, "Come on out. You got to come to this memorial." I'm not an early riser. There's nobody there at all. There's only a reporter, the minister, and the social worker. There's nobody actually there who knew Randy. Not one person.
Despite the small turnout, Mr. Givens' life emerged as extraordinarily full, productive, and active, filled with loving family, political colleagues, and intellectual and artistic accomplishments. He died February 6th in his room at the Ritz. He was 71 years old.
Central City Extra reporter Marjorie Beggs sits at her desk next to expansive windows overlooking busy Market Street. Silver hair dusts her shoulders, a few strands pinned back away from her glasses. Randy Givens' memorial is one of many she's covered over the years. Thinking for a moment, she recalls another. This one took place a few blocks away in the intimate listening room at the Ambassador Hotel.
There were probably 25 people there. It was a very small room that it was held in, and they were actually flowing out the door to stand and pay their respects and listen to what was going on.
Speedy, as he was known, had many friends in the SRO. When I walk down there, I meet one, Edmund Juicy. He remembers hearing news of Speedy's death.
He was a very, cowboy, Navy guy. Very grandfatherly and brotherly to us people who live in SRO tenants. And then I remember several others just screaming like, "No, no, no, not Speedy, no." Because I had just seen Speedy one day ago before that happened. And I mean, it told me that so many people had a special bond with him, because a lot of time in the SRO hotels you don't know a person that much. We don't see each other, but so many people had feelings to let out. It showed that he was definitely connected to a lot of people.
Marjorie Begg says that memorial was one of the most emotional she's ever attended.
This was a person who's actually started crying at the memorial because he said that for two nights after Speedy died, he wasn't able to sleep, he wasn't able to close his eyes, he was really fearing for his own mortality.
Memorials convene wherever there's space, in community rooms, kitchens, lobbies, and other common spaces in the Tenderloin's roughly two dozen SROs. No recording is allowed. No video, no sound, no photos. Reverend Glenda Hope officiates most of the memorials.
We give to the poorest among us that final dignity which all of us hope will be given to us.
She began holding the memorials more than 35 years ago through her nonprofit called Network Ministries. She delivers services in a minister's traditional garb, a clerical collar, black slacks and shirt over her slight frame. A cross with a peace sign always rests on her chest.
It's important that we can offer comfort and an opportunity for healthy grief and healing for those who are the survivors, and that we communicate to the survivors that when they die, their deaths also will be noted and will be mourned.
She asks everyone in attendance to close their eyes and reflect on the life of the departed. She reads a short scripture passage, then opens the floor up for anyone who wants to speak.
All these memorials end with Glenda asking everybody to stand around in a circle and hold hands. And that's always a very touching moment. And then she asks everyone to then turn and give your neighbor the sign of peace, which is a hug. So everybody ends up hugging.
Like Marjorie Begg's, Central City Extra reporter Tom Carter has attended hundreds of these memorials. Both say that at this point, they're as much participants as anyone else.
We hold hands at the end. We don't sit on the outside. We usually sit in the inner circle with the people who are talking, so we really do feel that we're part of the memorial, even though we're taking notes and nobody else is.
Carter and Beggs like to do their work while it's fresh in their minds. After each memorial, they rush back to their Market Street office to write their testimonials of the deceased.
Raymond Tony Pugliese was a lot of things, a motorcycle gang member, a bodybuilder, a fix-it man, an entrepreneur, a drug addict, and an alcohol abuser. But to a special few, he was the godfather of the Empress Hotel. When someone he knew told him they had a need, Pugliese had invited them to his fourth floor room for an appointment. The room was cluttered with nuts and bolts and little tools and crates of gadgets, plus a dozen cell phones and landmine phones too for his businesses, as he called his jack-of-all-trades enterprise.
Rose Ridolfi generated strong emotions in everyone who knew her, and she had acquaintances throughout the Tenderloin. I knew her for two decades, said Reverend Glenda Hope, who officiated at Ridolfi's memorial at the Franciscan Hotel. I have to say, I wasn't surprised at her passing, but I thought she'd always be around. She was like the little girl who had a curl. When she was good, she was very, very good, but when she was bad, she was horrid. We can talk about Rose like that, Hope added. People tell the truth in the Tenderloin memorials, that we're all a mix of good and bad.
Temperamental Louis O. Guzman likely got more respect at his memorial than he got in his 14 years living in the Turk Eddy preservation apartments. Cantankerous and combative, he was difficult to be around. He constantly complained and swore and tried to hustle his fellow residents for money. Quote, I told him once, Mr. Guzman, you can't go out on the street talking that way to people. You'll get beat up or killed, said manager Patsy Gardner. She said he shot back, that's why I've got this cane, unquote.
Carter says, in addition to providing closure, the obituaries illuminate daily life in the Tenderloin.
Well, it says that it's a real hard place to live and even harder place to die, and that for the most part, people are very glad to die inside, not on the street. So we're glad to document that.
Before long, the reporters will have another memorial to attend and another obituary to write to remind us that the dead once lived. In the Tenderloin, I'm Laura Flynn for Cross Currents.